About a decade ago, KGO Talk Radio in San Francisco conducted a call-in poll. Ron Owens invited listeners to express their opinion. 35% said yes, 33% said no, and 32% were undecided. One listener, aghast at the large number of undecideds, protested, "Is this sort of apathy that is ruining America?" The only problem with all of these responses was that the radio station had never posed a question. The people were listening, but they weren't attentive. They really weren't tuned in. They had been invited to give their opinion, yes, no, or undecided, but they never even thought to find out what the question was. Just because the words are going into your ears, just because we are in the same room with someone who is talking, doesn't mean that we're hearing, does it? Our theme scripture for this series on relationships is 1 Peter chapter 4, 8. Above all, more than anything else, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Listening, truly hearing another person is a gift of love. One of the greatest needs that people have is to be heard, just to be heard. And yet, it's not the natural response. Relationship experts, and I think everybody in this room would agree that communication, good communication, is essential to having a healthy relationship. Would you agree? However, it's one thing to believe that. It's another thing to know how and to actually do it. We assume that hearing, listening, understanding another person is an easy skill until you grow up. And you realize that we hear, just because we hear the words coming out of another person's mouth, that we understand what those words mean, doesn't mean that we're actually communicating. So many relationship messes are created by misunderstanding. It's not that we have something against another person. It's not that we're arguing about something. It's just that we are not hearing and we are not communicating. And so it's not really the arguing or fighting, but it's the misunderstanding. So what is communication? Let's talk about that, and then we're going to talk today about how to listen, some skills to listen. So what is communication? Here's a model of communication that is used in a lot of different ways. So what you have on the left is the person who's speaking, the sender. On the right is the person who hears the message, the receiver. And so in your bulletin, the first bullet point there says, communication is the transfer of meaning from one person to another. Communication is the transfer of meaning from one person to another. Now go back to that graphic again. So the speaker on the left, wants to send a message to the other person, the receiver. The receiver, or the speaker, encodes that message. This is psychology, academia. Says they encode that message, which means the speaker has an idea in their mind that they want to communicate. And so encoding is they take that idea and they use some kind of communication, written or words, to try to express it to the other person. And then in the middle, there's the channel, how we do it. Could be by our voice, could be by an email, could be by a text, could be by writing a letter, it could be by body language. But somehow that channel, we're trying to send that message to the receiver. And the receiver gets the message, and then when they get that message, they hear those words, or they read those words, or they see the body language. They have to interpret what that means. And that's the problem. Because the next bullet point, meaning lies in people, not in words. Meaning lies in people, not in words. Because the same word can be used in many different ways to communicate many different ideas or thoughts. And so what we're trying to do when we're trying to communicate is to get the meaning that's in me so that you understand the exact same message when you decode those words. And then the noise, if you go back to the graphic, the noise is anything that gets in the way. It could be external, physical noise, but more often what gets in the way is the internal stuff within us. It's preconceived ideas, previous experiences, understanding different words in different ways, the feelings that I have toward that other person. And that's all the noise that gets in the way. So the next bullet point says, in order for communicate to happen, I must be selfless to communicate well. I have to be selfless to communicate well. In other words, both the sender and the receiver needs to be more concerned with trying to understand than to take offense or to be defensive or to be frustrated or put the responsibility on the other person. And we've talked about in past messages in the relationship that the number one problem in relationships is selfishness. It's when I'm all about me instead of being all about us. And then finally, the last bullet point is there, I must take responsibility for communicating well. I have to be selfless, but then I need to go 100% of the way. I need to do all that I can to reach toward the other person so that I can communicate. So having that, understanding all of that, it's amazing that we ever communicate anything well, isn't it? Especially in our culture, the noise that's there at so many levels, especially what we've been through and all the stuff that gets in the way, it's amazing that we can communicate. And then to think that communication is one of the essential keys to having a good relationship. On the surface, you look at it and you go, we all ought to just find an isolation unit somewhere and be by ourselves because this is never going to work. And it doesn't in a lot of ways. And then you add the Holy Spirit, who gives us the ability to be selfless, who gives us the ability to understand things that we can't understand on our own, and a God who wants us to have good relationships more than we want them. Now, you've got a scenario where we can really experience that connection. So this week, I want to talk about listening, some listening skills that we can develop so that we can have these better relationships. And then next week, we'll talk about talking and what we need to do when we're actually expressing it to other people. But we need to start with listening. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says, there's a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And in that silence is listening. Matthew chapter 11, 15, Jesus said a number of different times, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What Jesus is saying is that it isn't a given that we will hear, whether it's God's words or somebody else's words. It isn't a given. And Jesus made this understanding a priority, not just speaking, and we have to do the same. So when he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, he's saying, listen up, pay close attention to what I'm saying. And was Jesus ever misunderstood? Absolutely. Why? Because the noise got in the way, and part of that noise is selfishness. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Would you underline those three phrases? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So here's James, empowered by the Holy Spirit, speaking and saying, you need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, why did he need to say this? Because in our natural humanity, we do exactly the opposite. We are slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. In verse 20, he says, for the anger of man does not produce righteousness of God. What he's telling us there is, if we are quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, we will not get into trouble in our relationships by being angry. But if we do the opposite, if we do what we naturally do, and that is to be slow to hear, quick to speak, quick to become angry, it will lead to an angry disposition that will create even more noise and we'll never be able to understand one another. In verse 21, he says, here's where that is based. It's in selfishness. It's in sinfulness. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So James is saying this in the context of listening to the word of God, but what we're really listening to is God in this relationship. And so it applies to human relationships as well as God's relationships. And so if we are slow to hear, quick to speak, quick to become angry, ironically, we get exactly the opposite of what we want. And yet that's the natural bent that we are headed towards. So our motive has to be love, and we have to go forward in selflessness. So what are these listening skills? All of that is kind of the background or the context for what we want to talk about with listening skills. Let me give you, and honestly, we could spend a whole message on each one of these skills, so I'm just giving you the little bit that you can run with and let the Holy Spirit help you as you go forward. Now, let me ask you, how many want good relationships? Because if you don't want good relationships and learn how to communicate, we might as well just go home, right? Do you want good relationships? I mean, you want me to go on with the message, or you want to just...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. A few people are going, yeah, we can go home. My wife's saying we could go home. Number one, listen first and keep listening. Listen first and keep listening. So James 1:19 is saying, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So what does he mean by quick? He has to tell us this because we will naturally do the opposite. And so what does he mean by quick? It means to start with listening instead of starting with speaking. We want to jump in and we want to tell people what they need to hear, right? And he's saying, stop, pull back, and start with listening. Listen first and keep listening. Run to it rather than dragging our feet. Make it the way of life. Make it the way that you just operate all the time is keeping your mouth closed and your ears open. Jewish rabbis for centuries have had this motto, God gave you two ears and one mouth, which means he wants you to listen twice as much as you talk. Don't assume you understand. Listen, and when you want to talk, keep listening. Proverbs 17, verses 27-28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. In other words, whoever keeps his mouth shut has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. And I love this next part. Even a fool who keeps silence is considered wise. So sometimes you can just be perceived as really smart by just keeping your mouth shut. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Jesus was never in a hurry to speak. What we see is the greatest listener of all time. So listen slowly, and when you think it's time to speak, stop and pause some more. Because the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to understand the situation if you don't jump in and get in his way. Listen and keep listening. I think one problem is that we are impatient and we want to get our words in. And have you ever caught yourself, the other person's talking and they haven't taken a breath yet, so you're still, you know, you can't jump in, but you already are thinking about all the things that you're going to say in response. And so wherever, you know, after about the first couple of sentences, you have not heard anything that they've said. By the time they get done talking, you're answering the wrong question, right? And I think somehow we got in our minds that our words have an expiration time on them. If I don't get them in time, They expire and I can't use them anymore. One way to listen is to write things down as if somebody else is talking. So as they're talking, just, okay, you know, I'm listening to you. I just want to make sure I'm getting this right. Because back in that graphic, what you see is the feedback is that communication that goes back from the receiver to the sender to affirm that you're on the same page. But your words don't expire. And quite frankly, probably most of the time, the words that you want to speak are not the right words. So set them aside and make sure that you do this in the right way. So number one, listen first. That's our first response. And keep listening. Keep listening. Number two, listen intently. Listen intently. Listen intently. I remember when the kids were little, and I don't know how your kids were, but they just chatter all the time. Talk, 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 talk. And if you stopped and just paid attention, and you'd never get anything done. And so, you know, the kids were there, and they'd talk, 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 and, you know, and I'd be doing something else, and finally they'd look at you, "You're not listening, Daddy!" You ever been accused of that? Because the truth is, in those kinds of scenarios, they become noise in the background of everything that else I need to do. And so, you know, and sometimes you need to listen, sometimes you just need to let them talk. But if we want to develop good relationships, we have to listen intently. You can't be reading the paper and listening intently. You can't have the television on and be watching it and listening intently. You can't be thinking about all the things you need to do at work the next day and listen intently. We need to train ourselves to listen intently. James chapter 1, verse 19. Be quick to hear. Say it with me. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So focus, and part of it is focusing on the other person, not on me. Focusing on hearing what they're really saying, not on what I want to say. Listen intently. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Listen intently. Let me say it again. Just because you're sitting in the same room when somebody else is speaking and the words are going into your ears doesn't mean you're hearing. Amen? No, you're supposed to say, yeah, man. See, that was a trick. Let me show you a video. And the first part is a message that doesn't get through. The second part is a message that does.
He went to the principal.
So could you please get them to knock it off?
I got this.
Can you back it up?
He went to the principal.
So could you please get them to knock it off?
No problem. I got this.
Attention, please. Students, attention, please. Ladies, would you please stop putting lipstick prints on the bathroom mirrors?
I repeat, ladies, would you please stop putting lipstick prints on the bathroom mirrors? Thank you. Is that good?
Yeah.
Jelly bean.
Sure.
What would you guess happened?
What?
The number of daily mirror kissings doubled. Elogio spent hours cleaning them off. That's when he got smart. He called a group of the most popular girls in the school, known culprits, down into the lavatory.
Ladies, I'd like to thank you for your time. Every day at the end of the day, I have to go through an unnecessary cleaning process. I'd like to show it to you, and I'm hoping you're willing to help. If you look over here to the mirror, see these lip prints? They're greasy and difficult to get off. I go home late every day because I spend so much time on these mirrors. I'd like to show you what I have to do every day.
Thank you.
day I do this.
He went to the principal.
When the principal makes the announcement, did the words go in their ears? Yes. But they didn't hear about the importance of it. In fact, they respond exactly the opposite. The second time, did the words go in their ears and in their heart and in their brains and in their lips? The message was clear. They weren't listening intently the first time, but the second time got their attention. We need to listen intently. That means setting aside all the noise. So listen first, keep listening, listen intently, and then number three, listen with eyes, heart, body, soul, as well as the ears. Listen with the eyes to see the body language and, you know, and see what's happening. Listen with the heart, what's underneath the message, what's behind the words. Listen with your body so that you're communicating, that you're paying attention. Listen with your soul, that is listening to the Holy Spirit, identify the things that are going on in that person's life and in the message, as well as with our ears. Matthew chapter 19, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And then he laid his hands on them, and then he went away. Jesus is listening intently, and he's listening with his whole self to what is happening. See, the disciples wanted to keep them away, and Jesus knew his heart. He was listening with his heart and his soul, as well as with his eyes, and he knew what the children really needed. And so he pulled them, and he listened with his hands when he reached out and touched them and communicated the love of God. Dr. Albert Mehrabian has conducted several studies on nonverbal communication, and he's found that 7% of any message is conveyed through words, 38% through our vocal intonations and how we use our voice, and 55% through nonverbal elements, facial expressions, gestures, posture, etc. Other studies have shown anywhere from 60 to 90% of the communication is something other than our words, depending on the day, depending on the situation. That means that the vast majority of communication is not the words, which is why sometimes, have you ever gotten an email and decoded what you knew the message was? And then you responded to what you thought the message was, and then you get another email back in all caps because what you said was not, and it just escalates from there. Why? Because words can mean many things. And so we need to listen, we need to pay attention to the whole thing. That's why you can't, if you're reading the paper and you're hearing the words, you're not getting the message because there's so much else that goes into that communication. Not only that, but listening intently with our whole bodies communicates love to the other person. Did you know that Jesus really didn't need to listen to people? Bible says that he knew what was in a man's heart even before they spoke. So Jesus didn't need to listen. So why did he? Because other people needed to be heard. Other people need to feel the love of God by him listening carefully to them. You see, sometimes listening is more for the other person than it is for you. That's why it's so important to be selfless. And so in order to listen with our whole being, we need to stop and ask, okay, what's really going on here? What is really going on with that person? A number of years ago, Sheila said she didn't want a 40th birthday party. What she wanted was to be sent to Phoenix to visit with her sister for a week. And so that's what we did, which left me with four kids, by myself, alone, having to feed these kids and get them off to school all by myself. I know. So I think we put her on a plane on Tuesday, and so I took care of the kids. None of them starved to death or killed themselves. And we got to Saturday, and the two older ones were off doing something else, and I think Chad was maybe over at Pam's house playing with Jacob, and Amber was the one left alone. And so I decided I would spend the morning with her, and she was, at that point, she was about, 8 or 9 years old. And all morning, she's grumping and complaining and whining and I can't do anything right. I try to make her pancakes, and I don't do pancakes right. Just one thing after another until got to be about lunchtime, I was standing in the kitchen, and I looked at her, and the Holy Spirit revealed. And I said, "You're missing your mom, aren't you?" "Yes, I'm missing my mom." See, I don't think she even could identify, but man, she was driving me nuts because all of this was going on inside of her. And so I went over and I hugged her. I said, "You want to call your mom?" "Yes, I want to call my mom." So we called mom and she talked to her in Phoenix, and we spent the afternoon going to pet shops looking at bunnies and puppies and things that would make her feel better. Now, on the surface, she's just being grumpy. She's just being nasty. She's just being mean. And if I take that personally, I'm just going to get angry. But if I take a step back and listen with my eyes, with my heart, and especially with my soul, so the Holy Spirit can say, "This is what she needs. This is what's really going on," then communication can happen. Listen intently, listen with our whole bodies. And then number four, ask questions to connect and clarify. Ask questions to connect and clarify. Let's read the scripture together. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Ask questions, connect and clarify. Look at me. Don't assume anything. Do not assume anything. But Herb, sometimes I know exactly. Do not assume anything. Because on Monday, the words that other person speaks can mean one thing. On Wednesday, those same words can mean something else. And that's how we get ourselves into trouble. So ask questions. And when you're sure that you understand, ask another question to make sure you clarify. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." In other words, that's just stupid. If you really want to have good relationships, listen and ask questions so that you understand. Because if one gives an answer before he hears, he's not talking about the words. He's talking about the transfer of meaning, understanding what that person means. So the first words out of our mouth in a conversation where we're trying to listen should not be words of advice or words of response, but words of clarity. "Well, what is it? Tell me more about that. Can you help me understand that situation? I think I'm hearing you say this. Is that what you're really saying?" And it gives a person the chance to clarify instead of becoming defensive and jumping in and believing we know what we're hearing. We need to ask questions. Audience participation time. This is a sentence that has been used a lot in a lot of different forms and in education. But I want you to tell me what the sentence means when I read it. "I didn't say he stole my money." What does that communicate? I didn't say. Or being defensive. Okay, let me change it. "I didn't say he stole my money." There's a lot of difference in that. How about this one? "I didn't say he stole my money." I may have inferred it, I may have thought it, but I had never voiced it. I didn't say he stole my money. Mm-hmm. I didn't say he stole my money. Could have been somebody else's. I didn't say he stole my money. He may have sold something else. Now, depending on which word you emphasize will indicate what you believe the person means. So if I, and how many always speak the right word with the right intonation? No. And so sometimes we don't even know it. So if we don't stop and say, okay, is this what you're saying? No, that's not what I'm saying. What are you talking about? Oh, well, then we have a chance to clarify. Jesus was a master at asking questions, even though he didn't need to ask them or listen. Oftentimes, the clarification was for other people as well as for himself. Matthew chapter 20, verses 32 to 34. And stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do? So here's these blind men. They've been along the road. They hear Jesus coming. They start shouting and hollering until they finally get Jesus' attention. They bring the blind men over to Jesus. And Jesus, stopping, called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, that seems like a stupid question, doesn't it? They're blind. They want to be healed, right? Maybe, maybe not. What Jesus was doing, he was asking a question to force them to think about what they really wanted. Do they want to be healed? Because if they get healed, if they get sight, that means they got to take responsibility, they got to work, they got to. And so he asked them, what do you want me to do for you? Then he said, Lord, then they said, Lord, let our eyes be open. And Jesus, in pity, what did he do? He spoke with his whole body, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Another time, Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? He's asking questions. They've been calling him Lord, they've been calling him Rabbi, they've been calling him all these kinds of things, but he goes into the, who do people say that I am? They give him an answer, okay, who do you say that I am? Let's clarify this. Who do you believe that you're following? Asking questions, ask questions, ask questions, ask questions. Listen first, listen intently, listen with your whole body, and ask questions so that you don't get into trouble. And then finally, number five is to respond with love. Respond with love. Say the scripture with me. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Have you ever noticed that children want to talk more than they want to listen? As an example. I got a boo-boo. Well, my boo-boo's worse than yours. Well, I got a Hot Wheels car. I got toys that from my kitchen at home. And it's, you know, to try to get any kind of message across, it's a miracle if anything ever crosses. That's because we naturally want to talk more than we want to listen. Ever met anybody like that? And it seems like we get expert at not taking a breath or breathing while we're saying words so the other person can't get any words in. Because when they start getting words in, then I got to listen to them and I want to talk. I don't want to listen. I want to talk. So we have to recalibrate our hearts to act in love, because it takes selflessness if we want to have a good communication. Listening, a part of listening, is after we've done all these things, is then to respond, to do what is best for the other person. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17 says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, so here's the situation. Someone comes along, they don't have what they need, and they talk to you about it, and you're supposed to be listening, but in your mind, all this noise is going through your head going, well, you know, if they just worked harder, if they just, you know, all this. And you're not asking the questions to clarify. You're not and you're just assuming all these things. And then he goes on. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And listening by itself, if it does not have a loving response, is dead. Because if we want to have good communication, we need to respond in love. What would you think if I told Amber just to grow up? Man, you're gripey, you're grumpy, you're making my life hard. Just grow up. Come on, you're 9 years old, for Pete's sake. That wouldn't have been loving, and that would have been harmful, right? And you would, every one of you would have think I'm a bad person. What would you have thought if I said, you want to talk to your mom? Yeah, I want to talk to my mom. Well, I'm sorry. She's on vacation. You can't talk to her. That wouldn't have been loving. Even though I heard what she needed, if I don't respond. And so oftentimes we hear what somebody else says that they need or want, but then we don't do anything because we're thinking of ourselves instead of thinking of other people. It can be as simple as a touch. Sometimes that's what somebody needs. There have been times in my life when I've just been overwhelmed by things, struggling with things, and what I really needed was for somebody to say, how you doing? Not very good. And I needed I desperately needed someone just to assure me. And when that person came over and gave me a hug, it didn't change any situation. It didn't solve any problems. But it let me know I was cared about. You see, that's a loving response. Sometimes that's all it takes. Other times it means action. It means doing something, coming alongside. Sometimes it's just, you're facing a tough situation. Let me go with you into that situation. Let me just be there for you. But we need to clarify because sometimes, what is it that you need? If I assume that they need a hug when actually what they really need is somebody to go with them to confront that situation, that's not loving. I need to make sure I hear what they need. And so it can be a touch, it can be a prayer, walking with them. Jesus lovingly touched the children. Jesus, out of love, touched the blind men and healed them. Jesus, out of love, asked the disciples who he was to lovingly help them understand that he really was the Christ. And then on another time, when they were arguing behind him, they were walking along the road and they were fussing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus confronts them later and says, what were you guys arguing about? What they needed was to be corrected. And that was the loving thing to do. So all of these things we see practiced by Jesus, and sometimes we miss them because they're kind of behind, underneath the surface, they're behind the scenes. But I guarantee you, if you don't practice these skills, you won't have the kind of relationships that you want. And I also guarantee you, if you try to do them in your own ability and your own power, you're dead. Because it won't work. It takes the supernatural power of God and our hearts and our minds and our souls to make the relationships, the kind of relationships we want, happen as we listen. Listen first and keep listening. Listen intently. Listen with your eyes, heart, body, and soul, as well as your ears. Ask questions and then respond with love. That's a high commitment. But Jesus has said, as we've seen, the most important things in life is relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with others. And the only way to express love, receive love, and have those kind of relationships is to communicate well, and that starts with listening. God wants to help you become a great listener more than you want to become one. But like any skill, it's not a magic wand. It takes developing those intentionally. Would you bow your heads? Where do you need to listen better? Parent, child, friend, spouse? Where are those places and those people that You've only been listening half-heartedly. Or you've been listening through a lens of selfishness that's caused you to become defensive or react instead of really hear. What do you need to do different? Which one of these skills do you really need to hone in on? Is it asking questions to clarify, to make sure you got it straight? Is it listening first rather than jumping to conclusions and wanting to get my words in instead of really hearing? What do you need to do? What will you ask God to help you do? As I said before, God wants to help you have better, good relationships and become a listener more than you do. So in this couple moments of quiet, would you express to God what you need and what you're committing to doing to listen better? Now ask God to do whatever it takes in your life to make you a listener like Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us such a great example of what it means to live a life of love and to listen. Lord, you saw and heard things that nobody else saw and heard. And we want, by your Spirit, by your presence living in us, to be the same way. So honor the prayers that have been prayed. Give us the courage and give us the ability and develop in us the skills that we need, that we might have great relationships, but that others might see them and might feel loved and might come to know you as well. I pray that you be with us as we go throughout this week. Keep reminding us of these things and help us to rely upon your Spirit to do them. In the name of Jesus, we pray.